This is a gigantic budget on both the tax and spending side. Domestic spending will reach new levels never seen before in the United States. You know, in comparison, for example, to the first Clinton budget, this budget is a much more expansive big government budget than the budgets under President Clinton.
Let's talk a bit about why it looks that way. My understanding is that part of the reason the budget looks as big as it is because it includes things that normally would be stuck in supplementals, like the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Is that accurate?
That's true. On the one hand, there is more honest accounting in this budget. The costs of AMT relief are included in the budget. The projected costs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are included in the budget, and that's good. However, there is some of the usual smoke and mirrors in this budget as well. For example, the administration claims trillions of dollars in savings, partly because they include in their baseline an inflated amount for defense spending all the way through to 2019, an amount that no one believes would ever really happen, and then they reduce that amount by about $1.5 trillion, and they call that savings. So there is some of the usual sort of smoke and mirrors or machinations in this budget to make things look a little better.
A lot of agencies have been working with flat budgets, under continuing resolutions, under budgets that are getting smaller. And I know some of them are seeing this budget proposal and they're salivating. They're thinking, wow, if we could get this much money, imagine what we could do with it. It does put them in a position of being able to do their jobs better. Is that a saving grace? Does that take some of the sting out?
Well, I don't see any reason why the federal government shouldn't be retrenching its costs at the same time that families are and businesses are retrenching their costs. I think the most important aspect for federal agencies is that the omnibus appropriations bill that's going through Congress now increases spending 8% for the current year over last year. As you know, federal budgets don't mean much beyond the first year, in this case FY 2010. So it does seem that agencies will do well in 2009 and in 2010, the first year under President Obama. But unfortunately for the taxpayers, I think that just means more debt burdens pushed on to the next generation.
And of course, no budget proposal looks exactly as it's proposed once it goes through the meat grinder of Capitol Hill. What are some of the things that you've seen that you would expect wouldn't make it through? Or what are some changes that you would like to see?
Well, there are gigantic battles ahead on many of these the big proposals in the budget, and this is a budget with big proposals. The Obama administration seems to be gearing up to push for a new $1 trillion health care plan, $600 billion of which they accounted for in this budget. Obviously, that's a huge battle, and I suspect it will probably fail, like the healthcare battle in the early Clinton years. There's also a gigantic $600 billion global warming tax in this budget in the form of a cap-and-trade system, which essentially would push up costs for energy producers in this country who would increase their bills on energy consumers. That is a gigantic battle that is coming down the road. So this is a budget with many lofty big government priorities. We will see whether the American public is ready for these. I hope they put up some resistance.
Well, there's the thought that this is actually going to help bring costs down in the long run, that this is sort of a long-term investment, a marathon, not a sprint. Do you buy into that theory?
No, not at all. Often when we see proposals for so-called reforms like Bush's prescription drug bill in 2004, they promise cost savings along with these these so-called reform bills. And, you know, the cost savings never really happen in the end, or at least they're not very large, and taxpayers are generally just stuck with higher costs. So it seems to me that if we can save money in the Medicare and Medicaid, for example, by introducing new technologies, let's do that. Let's see what the results are before we have a debate about expanding the program.
Historically speaking, put this in perspective for me. When it goes through that process, do you anticipate it being even bigger when it's done, or do you anticipate some shrinkage?
You know, usually Congress adds money on to presidential requests on the discretionary spending side. You know, the entitlement priorities in the budget are not really a factor, of course, in the annual appropriations process. So, you know, often presidents' budget budgets are said to be sort of thrown in the trash when they head up to Capitol Hill. But in this case, you know, you do have a fairly popular president in his first year. Unfortunately, from my limited government perspective, that means that he probably will have some success getting some of these spending proposals through.
Now, is there anything that wasn't included in this budget that you would have liked to have seen be included?
I think one thing that is not addressed in this budget is the issue of long-term competitiveness in the American economy. Mm-hmm. There has been so much discussion about short-run stimulus and getting the economy out of the recession. We have forgotten the fact that ultimately the American private sector has to compete in a world economy with the rise of China and India and other competitor countries. We need to do something about the competitiveness of American business. But unfortunately, this budget increases taxes on corporations and small business by hundreds of billions of dollars. I think that's the wrong way to go.